No. We'll do it live! Fuck it!
Hey there, cats, kittens, welcome to... Fuck! I was going to say Five Star Radio. I'm so used to saying it when I'm doing this shit on my own. A half credit hour, the show, Five Star Radio, Road Rage Radio. I miss saying Five Star Radio. I know I renamed it for branding purposes, but Five Star was such a... It just rolled off the tongue. Anyways, I'm driving back from Cleveland. I've been in the car for 3 hours. I got like another 2.5 or whatever to go. I listened to a bunch of podcasts, and now I got nothing to fucking do, so I'm going to do one of my own. The audio quality sucks. I really don't give a shit. We have so many fucking podcasts up. I think we're almost at like one a day now. And I don't know. I don't give a shit. I'm in a very despondent mood. Grady, I know you're listening, so you're going to have to find something else for us to talk about on Wednesday. Because I'm going to be covering most of this. Fuck it. We'll talk about it again. It's always better when I have somebody else there with me. Because then if I make a joke and I hear a laugh, it encourages me. Which actually may even not be the best thing. But whatever, I like it. It makes me feel better about myself. So UFC 203 came and went. Fuck this show. Fuck Cleveland. Fuck the whole experience. The only positive out of all of this is I took my mother's car. Because my mom's actually in Washington, D.C. right now. Over 9/11. And so I'm like, fuck, I can use her car instead of my car. And she's got a nice 2012 Ford Fusion. She doesn't have that many miles on it. I bought it for her. But it's got Bluetooth. I drive a 2007 Mustang. And I really don't like the car. Like, I don't hate it or anything. It's fine. It's just a car. I don't give a shit about cars. But now I feel like I look like a dick. And I'd rather just have something like this. But especially with the Bluetooth. I love the Bluetooth instead of using a 355 jack. I don't know. There's no difference. Like, logically, there's no difference at all. I know. But there's just something about it that, I don't know, makes me feel futuristic. I can't explain these things. Maybe it's because it's not even like I can move the thing around more with I get a long cord. I don't know, I like it. I feel cool. But I'm not doing that right now. I'm not even sure what state I'm in. Cedar Lake Golf Course, where the fuck am I? I think I'm in Indiana now. But I don't really remember seeing a sign welcoming me to Indiana. You know, in hindsight, I don't know why I don't go to the shows when the UFC goes to Indianapolis. It's only like a 3-hour drive. I want to go to fucking Cleveland. What the fuck is that? It's big and tall. I got to think of shit. I don't want to. I already stopped once to get gas. I'd have to go then. My morning constitution. I don't know. It's because I ate a piece of chocolate cake because it was fucking free. And I was eating all the free food I could from them yesterday. I went to Cleveland. You saw the fight. I'm going to talk. Fuck you. I can talk about whatever I want. I've never been to Cleveland. It's now my third city in Ohio I've gone to for UFC, with Columbus and Cincinnati. This is the least amount of time I've spent in any of them. I drove there yesterday, being Saturday. So I drove to the show, the day of the show, got into Cleveland around 3:00 local time. The show didn't start till 7 or 7:30 or something like that local time because of all the injuries, because elevators are dangerous. Yes, right. We all had to pretend like we were sad that CB Dolloway didn't fight. I didn't give a shit. I'm at the point now where the fewer fights on a pay-per-view or on a show, the better. The irony being that I was there early anyways just because I was like, I had nothing to fucking do. And I don't know. I was just like, I don't know, whatever. Like, when I'm in Chicago, I know exactly how long it takes. I know exactly where to go, what to do. Like, I was 10 minutes away. Cleveland isn't very big, apparently. Kind of confusing to drive around, but that's what we have GPS for these days. You have to be a pretty much a fucking moron not to be able to get anywhere. Doesn't any of these signs... I guess it wouldn't make sense for most signs to actually tell you what state you're in, because they probably assume that you can figure out hundreds of square miles or whatever it is. Thousands of square miles? I don't know. Are you fucking out of your fucking mind? You fucking dumb piece of shit. You fucking Indiana hillbilly motherfucker near Sturgis, Indiana. You try to fucking come in my fucking lane? Well, fucking get over. I'm going to wave you over, you fucking old coot. I'm going to fucking wave you over. God, you fucking oh, fuck you. If I fucking died on this fucking trip, oh, I would have. That's a fucking way to go out. Well, fuck you. If you're not going to fucking go, if I swear to fuck, if you try to go now after I slowed down to let you go, you fuck. Oh, you got like your fucking sunglasses on, Mr. Cool Guy. Fuck you, you fucking asshole. So UFC 203 of Cleveland. Cleveland is, I don't know. You always hear about Cleveland, and from what I can tell, it lives up to, or lives down to its reputation. That's not true at all. The part I was in, which was near the Quicken Loan Center, a center built in honor of the guy that owns the Cavaliers, and Quicken Loans are like those payday loans. So yeah, built up, literally, well, I can't say literally on the backs of, because that would imply that there's like human beings underneath. I don't think that there is. There might be. But built on, you know, fucking poor people. I'm 47 miles away from South Bend. And 135 from Chicago. I don't know. Whatever. But yeah, you know, it's a payday loan. So they got their arena, and that's where LeBron James plays. And nobody else, as far as I know. Although they have some nice things. Anyways, the area around there, I saw Jacobs Field, Ebbets Field, where the Indians play. I didn't go in it or anything, but I saw it looks really nice, actually. Very nice, exactly how you should have your sports area. Lots of good parking. Looks like there are a lot of good restaurants and places to drink and be merry and happy. And if it wasn't for the ugly people around, which I presume is just something from Ohio in general, it would have been nice. Compared to the other two cities, though, I always have a weird soft spot for Cincinnati, and I don't know why. I just remember going there. First of all, it was a great show. Anderson and, I think that was Anderson Rich. Because I think Anderson and Henderson was Columbus. Maybe Flip. Yeah, Henderson. That may be Flip. I think Cincinnati was just like super low expectations, and I had a really, really nice hotel room. Like I stayed at the hotel where the fighters were because I was in law school, and I had like student loan money, and I didn't understand the value of a dollar because I was just being given it by the government. So I was like, yeah, I'll fucking, you know, spend $175 for a night or whatever for a hotel room. Yeah, this is what you're supposed to do. Now, this time I stayed at a Days Inn for $45, which is these second cheapest hotel I've stayed at in the past 3 weeks, and it was not as nice. Again, I reiterate, it was not as nice as a $25 hotel I got in Las Vegas. The Super 8 Motel off the strip in Vegas for $25 with a strong smell of marijuana was infinitely nicer than this Days Inn. This Days Inn was, without exaggeration, the worst hotel I've ever stayed at. It smelled weird. The room was weird looking. It was kind of dark and ugly. The TV looked like it was, I don't know, 15 years old. It wasn't HD. The whole place just seemed shifty. The bathroom was disgusting. The tub was all stained from rust or whatever. The walls were stained. Looks like somebody had done some basic patchwork over something. The countertop of the sink was all stained. It was a shithole. And like, I know, Mike, what do you expect for $45? I honestly, it's fucking Cleveland. Or Lakeland or whatever. Lakewood, something. I thought it would be okay. Like, I don't expect all the bells and whistles. And it got the job done. I had a place to sleep. And I did take a shower. Mostly out of boredom. Like, I got there early and, like, I've been getting in the habit of remembering, when, you know, I traveled to Vegas. I took a shower when I got there. Because I've been sweating. This time I drove this car and it's got really nice air conditioning. And I wore tank top and actually wore sweatpants, and it's a little colder out now. We're getting into September, and I thought, I'll bring your deodorant, bring your moisturizer. Make sure that you can take a shower if you need be. And I got there, I was like, I don't smell, I smell fine. I checked myself, I'm like, I don't need to take a shower, but I have nothing to fucking do. And I was kind of tired, I tried to lay down, but my mind was kind of racing, and I knew I needed a Xanax, because it had been like a long time since I had one. But I was afraid if I took a Xanax and then tried to lie down that I might fall asleep and sleep through most of the pay-per-view, which in hindsight would have been a good thing. So I didn't want to take a Xanax until I knew I was going to be awake. But, it's just, Plus, again, I'm driving all day. I was just tired. So the hotel was just absolutely a piece of shit. But it was $45, so what do you expect? And that was with tax. Cleveland itself was just like the hotel room, with the exception of that nice area. As I drove... Actually, I really can't rip on it. What I saw of Cleveland was very, very nice. Driving along Lake Erie, beautiful. It reminded me of driving in Minnesota. There's some of the nice lakes I have up there. There's a lake called Leech Lake that my family's got a cabin near. Lake Superior as well. It seemed really nice, but I love lakes. I love big bodies of water. I think I really like Midwest lakes. Something about it. I think a lot of it's just growing up, and that's where my family went for vacation when I was a kid, so it probably has some nostalgic value to it. But something about, like, I mean, I love all lakes, I love all beaches everywhere. I love just looking at the water, just seeing forever. It's infinity when you don't see land on the other side. It's forever and it's nothing. It's, you know, the end of everything or the beginning of everything. I love it. Something, again, about being around with trees and ferns and stuff like that. And it's a little cold around. It's not a beach. It's not like, you know, you're in the Caribbean or anything like that. So I really like that. And like I said, the downtown of Cleveland was, I presume it was the downtown. It was really nice. I thought it was a great place to be. Like, yeah, this is kind of cool. It reminded me kind of the area surrounding the stadiums in Detroit, where it was like, oh, this is nice. If you get anywhere like a foot outside of those areas in Detroit, though, especially Detroit. I stayed in a fucking motel by the airport in Detroit that was nicer than where the Days Inn that I stayed at in Cleveland. That's right, Cleveland. Detroit was nicer than you. But Detroit, you're driving around there, though. That was a shithole. That was a dead city. Please stop trying to revive it. Do not give car companies any more money. I don't care if they all lose their jobs. Fuck you. None of us should have jobs anyways. We should all be down in this shit together. We're all living on a bubble. It's being kept alive because nobody wants to just let what should happen, which is the market corrects itself and a fire comes through and culls the land and gets rid of some of the dead trees. Instead, we just keep giving the dead trees water, but they're dead. So what we're really doing is just tying ropes around them to the ground to make it look like they're still standing, but they're really just dead. Meanwhile, I, a young oak, mighty, firm, hard, big wood, cannot survive because I am not being given the nutrients that I need. I don't know who I'm blaming for my problems in life now. Obama. Trump will save me. Because if there's one thing a guy who knows what to do is try. I saw the commercials in Cleveland. The first one was, one of them was for how to get your teeth removed. Like they were going to remove your nation's largest big and tall outlet. I have to be in Indiana. This commercial was for getting your teeth removed. I don't know what the fuck that means. Is this a procedure? Okay, I know it's a procedure. I understand that there are people that have to get teeth removed. But it's something like they're going to remove all your teeth, and they have like some four spokes or something that were going to keep them going. Like, then you'd have like fake teeth, and you could never tell the difference. And they weren't showing like 90-year-old, I was going to say octogenarian, but that's not the right term for 90-year-olds. That's 80-year-olds. Septuagenarian is 7. Sexagenarian is 6. I'm just going backwards. Hexagenarian is 5. My mom says sexagenarian. I don't want to say that word. What's 9? I don't know. I don't know 9. Octagon. This is, you don't get any more size than an octagon. So there wasn't like they're showing a lot of 90-year-old octogenarians. These people are like in their 40s or whatever. They didn't look that old. God, I'm 33, man. I'm closer to 34 than I am 33. Well, I mean, I am 30. You know what I mean. I'm past the halfway point, fuckers. That means I'm getting closer to 40. Ah, Mike, you're young. Nah, not really. I'm now old enough that, I'm kind of in a fucked position in life. Because at 33, I'm too old to really go out and be young and crazy. Like, I've already stopped drinking for now. And I really want to start up again. But I also really want to lose weight and get back in better shape. So, it's a fucking give and take. But I can't go out and be partying and banging chicks and being irresponsible because I'm smart enough and I know better. But I'm not, so I'm too old for, like, you know, to be 20. Obviously, I'm too old to be 20. But even be around those people. I mean, fucking, the age of consent in Illinois is 16. The age of consent is more than half my age. Like, that's how old I am. But I'm also not old enough that I can just throw my life away. Like, if I was 60 and living the way I am, people would just write me off and be like, you know what? It's just a loser. Nothing there. You don't have to worry about him. He's pathetic. He has nothing to offer the world. Just let him drink and die. But no, I'm just young enough that in theory I could still pull myself up and turn it around and make something of my life. And I don't want to do that. I want it to be over. And not like in a I'm committing suicide way, in a this is bored me way. I'm done. I'm just like, let me just go out to pasture. I just want to sit, watch TV, and get stoned with weed or alcohol, whatever it may be. I'm not going to have children. I'm not going to get married again. I'm incapable of love. I have come to terms with, I've not come to terms with this. I've acknowledged it, and I know it's there, that I am incapable of ever loving. Truly, I am. I could marry someone. I could find somebody and be content. Actually, I die for contentness, ironically. But true love, it doesn't work. I always have these, images in my head of what I expect a woman to be or what I have always pictured myself with. And I see girls walking around. I saw them last night and I'm like, wow, that girl's really pretty. And then immediately, like, instead of just thinking she's pretty, I think, what the, I can't be with somebody like that. She's too nice and normal and pretty and she'd expect something of me. Like, I have to be with a fuck-up. And yes, my ex-wife was a fuck-up, but a different type of fuck. Like, somebody has to be damaged to be with me. Because I'm damaged. But I don't want damage. Even though part of me does, and I've always been drawn to damaged, I don't want it. This car is weird. There's no, like, locks. I mean, there's locks, but you can't, like, pull the lock up. But yeah, again, I'm damaged, and I have to be with damaged. But I don't want to be damaged. But if I ever actually got my shit together and really got through real good therapy and blah, 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 turned it around, it's still too late. I can't do it. I can't be the guy that got married in his mid to late 20s and had a wife, young wife and young kids and a little house and all that shit. Like, that's gone. And I don't know what else there is. And I feel like anybody I ever meet now, I have not talked about UFC at all yet, have I? But anybody I meet now is also going to have some fucked up problems. The older I get, the more likely I am to be with somebody that's fucked up. And I don't want to be with fucked up. I want normal, but I couldn't be around normal. So you see the issues I'm having here. So being 33 sucks is my point. I thought I had a bit with this too. There's something here for a bit. I have a bit about pedophiles. I don't have it all fleshed out. Bit, Mike, as in like stand-up comedy? Yeah, as in stand-up comedy. I'm not going to do the stand-up part, but I try to come up with little bits for you guys, three of you listening. I don't know who fuck listens to this show, besides people that are on it. Like, I know some shows have had good numbers, but this site is so fucking weird. I don't know what the numbers were for last night. I asked. I haven't found out yet. The Conor show, which is the biggest night of all time. It's huge. Coincided with 1 million hits to the website. We do all those fake movie previews. That shit gets tons of hits. Just absurd. It keeps the thing afloat. It's our baseline. It allows me to fuck around and do other things. it allows me to have all the good writers, and you guys do great stuff. And I don't know, I'm in a very melancholy state lately. It started yesterday, really bad. I can't exactly pinpoint it either. I had a weird pain in my abdomen. I've kind of had it for a while. And at first it started after I went back to gyms. So I thought, okay, I'm just out of shape, my abs aren't there, blah, blah, blah. But yesterday, like, I was in the parking lot, and there's, like, this stabbing pain, and I felt, like, almost like I could feel something running inside of me, like, water runs down, you know, your leg. And I'm like, huh, did my appendix just burst? But then the pain went away, but I can still kind of feel where it would have been, and it's on the left side of my body, so it's not my liver or my kidneys. Well, it could be a kidney, but it's, like, it's up front, though, on the fat. So I don't know what that is. That's all about. That can't be good. How much time have I done? 20 minutes. 21. Whatever. Fuck you. The pedophile bit. I could do that. This works better, I think, with an audience. Grady, try to see if I can tell this again with you. Cleveland. I was going to make fun of Cleveland a little bit. The one thing I could make fun of it for was for all the time I was giving it shit, and this place sucks. And there is something wrong with Cleveland with the weird commercial. Oh, and I saw a Hillary Clinton commercial. This is better than the one I see here in Illinois or in Indiana, wherever. Because Illinois is not up for grabs, so nobody gives a shit. The only commercials I've seen at all are on True TV when I'm watching Practical Jokers, and I think those are national spots. And it's the worst fucking commercial. Like, whoever it is from Clinton's campaign that came up with this commercial, fucking out to lunch. Completely has no idea how the world works. It's basically like the famous commercial from the LBJ Goldwater election of 64 when the little girl, the daffodils, and the nukes go off, and painting Goldwater as this crazed, out-of-touch guy who might blow up something in a heartbeat. And it's always hailed and pointed to as a great, great commercial that was really effective, blah, blah, blah. I don't actually know if it was. Maybe it was. I don't trust anybody who talks about that era, because it's all this same generation blowing themselves about how great they were. And in reality, it sucked. They all sucked. I think that they all looked at themselves as the righteous underdogs. Like, Nixon got elected and re-elected with a huge landslide. All you counterculture dicks really weren't all that significant. You think you are. You write your movies about all the way you changed the world, did this, and this, and blah, blah, blah. If you were so fucking influential, why didn't it show up in the polls? And not only didn't show up, Nixon was a juggernaut in 72. What the fuck was that, huh? 60, 64, 68, yeah, 72, yeah. Like, if there was really this super, super movement, he wouldn't have won like he did. Then the only reason they reclaimed the White House was, you know, because of Nixon. And Carter was, you know, one and done. And then Reagan came in 80 solidly. 84 was a juggernaut so big that it led to a third term with George H.W. Bush, which doesn't have very often. Usually countries don't elect the same party three presidential terms in a row. Then you had Clinton, Bush, Obama, and I don't know. Anyway, the point being that Clinton's got this commercial out, and it's taking these quotes from Donald Trump. And there's a lot of, I mean, the problem with Trump is there's just so much to look at that you can't focus. It's like one of those murals that from a distance, it looks like a picture of a person, but if you get in really close, it's all like individual people or whatever. You've seen that shit, like, or what they do with the words, or how if you really look really closely at like the dot matrix type of thing. Like, up close, everything, there's all these things Trump has done that are like, oh, that's really awful. You pull back a little bit, and it all mixes into one tapestry, which you may not like, or you may like, but it's not as offensive as some of the individual things might be on their own. Like, and Hillary's the opposite. She's been so bland. First of all, she's killing people. But everything we already know about Hillary. She's a seasoned politician. She's playing this election very differently. She didn't campaign a lot. You know, she didn't have to campaign. With Bernie Sanders, Sanders was just enough outside the mainstream that he wasn't going to win an election, and the way the Democrats set up their primary system, he was kind of screwed anyways. And it's true. Republicans have a far more open and honest process for nominating somebody. It's a lot more likely, well, you get a Donald Trump type. And so after Hillary got that nomination, she's always been kind of a mainstream candidate. And she's been the heir apparent since 08. And she's played a role and had her Secretary of State and blah, 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 blah. But then there's Trump. And he's different because he says all these horrible things. But like the other day, Hillary had a gaffe when she said that like most of the people at Trump's rallies were like, I can't remember what the term was, but it really wasn't good. But it wasn't like she called them all a bunch of fucking nigger-loving faggots or something, like, where you go, oh my gosh. Trump would say that, but you wouldn't hear about it. And then if he didn't, then he'd be like, yeah, whatever, you know what I meant. And the truth is, with Trump, you would know. You'd know he's saying something racist, but Trump could say something off-color and just be like, hey, look, that's just how I talk, and most people will go, all right, because he's the non-politically correct candidate. For good and for bad. And I think there's a lot of good there. But he's allowed to get... He's allowed more misspeakings. Misspokes? Gaffes. I don't want to use the word gaffe again. It's a good word. G-A-F-F-E. Or G-A-F-E-E. There are two F's or two E's. Or it's two... Or maybe both. I don't know. I have to be in fucking Indiana. Yeah, because I'm fucking... Notre Dame's coming up here. So whatever, Hillary called a bunch of people loser. It was really bad. Like, the way she said it, it was kind of worse than a lot of what Trump says. Because when Trump says, like, Mexico's not sending their best and brightest, they're sending their murderers and their rapists. Setting aside whether it's true or not, first of all, there's a degree of truth. There is and there isn't. There are a lot of criminals that come over from Mexico. There's probably more criminal Mexican immigrants than any other immigrants. Because it's so much easier to be an immigrant from Mexico. If you're coming from India, it's a bit of a process. You've got to go through you've got to jump through a lot more hoops. Not a lot of, gangsters coming over from New Delhi setting up shop and running a drug cartel. Mexico has that ability. This doesn't mean that all Mexicans are like that, but just, of the immigrants, there's going to be more criminals probably amongst the Mexican immigrants per capita than the others. But Trump's also, again, a loudmouth, and he says things, in a deliberately over-the-top manner all the time. So when he says that, on some level, even if you hate Trump and you think he's an asshole and a racist and all these things, I think even his biggest detractors on some level go, that's Trump just saying things the way Trump speaks. It's the old black people who say nigger, but white people can't deal. You know, Trump can say things a certain way and Hillary can't because he's Donald Trump. He's a walking caricature. I don't even know what he's a caricature of. He's a caricature of a 1980s businessman from Wall Street. He really is. That's what he is. He's not a caricature of a modern businessman. The modern businessman doesn't look like Trump. When we show them on TV, they're all this, you know, Silicon Valley, the new money, they're all techie, kind of, they look like, you know, 1990s artsy-fartsy types. Does people say artsy-fartsy? Yeah, I say artsy-fartsy. But, you know, they look like they belong in an art gallery with their Steve Jobs turtlenecks, and they're all kind of, hey, I don't wear a tie, and I'm loose and relaxed, and it's all about your brain and things like that. Even, you know, modern lawyers are all sharp-tailored and kind of, they can be, they're thin, and they're in shape, and all this stuff. And Trump, again, 1980s businessman, he's got bigger, his suit's bigger, he's bigger, he's not in shape, he's overly tanned, his hair is ridiculous. Donald Trump doesn't exist anymore. But he's, like I say, he's a caricature, and Hillary, in many, many, many ways, is a caricature also. You know, that type of feminist isn't your modern feminist. People keep saying the phrase third wave feminist, which basically sounds like it's what they're using for these crazy fucking nut job social justice warrior feminists that only want to hate and kill men. And you know what I'm talking about. Like, the ones who are like, everybody's like, God damn, just back the fuck off. Who are basically fascists. The regressive left, the crazy leftists. Because the left is becoming far more fascist than the right. I know, some people don't want to hear it, but it's true. I think it's because if you're on the right in America, for so long you've been told that what you believe isn't right, and that you have to learn how to behave and to tolerate and accept others, and you've kind of have. But if you're a leftist, you're on a university campus, this has nothing to do with UFC 203. Grady, if you're still listening, I'm just going to fucking go with this. I'm not even going to fucking talk about the show, so we can talk about it later. And I didn't even get to rip on fucking Cleveland yet. I'm still in the commercial. I feel better about myself, though. Indiana Toll Road Sign Department. Sign Department? It's a whole building full of signs. There's an administration building. Huh. Indiana's got nothing. Ohio's nice. Like, it's really, I've always thought, I said this before, especially driving out of Columbus. Columbus is beautiful. Like, the area around it. Oh, the trees and the colors, especially this time of year, and in October especially. Oh, man, it's beautiful. Hey, there's some kids playing soccer. Or should I say football? I had to miss Liverpool playing a game of their beating the shit out of Leicester to go to fucking Cleveland. I taped it and I listened to it. But I love listening to Liverpool. Oh, because I get to listen to the feed from Liverpool with the homers doing it. And they're fucking awesome. It's so weird because I've grown up, my footballing life has been watching NBC Sports for the most part. We're watching, obviously, American telecasts of all games. And they tend to always be neutral. We don't have any hometown announcers. Whereas when I watch baseball or the American football, basketball, whatever, like, we get the hometown announcers. Even if they're trying to be a little unbiased, they're still a little biased. You can listen to the radio and get the really crazy fuck jobs who are like, holy shit. Like, the Bears advanced the ball 2 yards. We're never going to lose again. The Bears are down by 50 points. We can totally come back from this. I remember one time in 1943 when Sid Luckman threw 12 touchdowns, 13 minutes. Like, they threw for touchdowns. Actually, he did. Sid Luckman, here's some Bears history for some of you. This shows how anemic, and that's the only way to describe it, anemic, the Bears' passing game has been over the years. The Bears have always been known as a defense and running team. Old school football, blah, 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 blah. Now we have Jay Cutler. And Cutler is a pussy. He's just a puss. He's a wimp. He's just not a super tough guy. And even though I think he's actually a little tougher than he's given credit for, because his line, I say his line's not good. I don't know if his fucking offensive line's good or not. I have no idea. But he does seem to get hit a lot. But he plays. And he's got a cannon for an arm. And when you see how many shitty quarterbacks there are out there, I mean, he's better than a lot of them. He's probably in the upper half of the league. And he's consistently there. Like, every year, the Bears don't have to worry if he's going to be good enough to play quarterback. There are teams that don't know if they have a quarterback. Denver does not have a quarterback. They have a guy playing quarterback. They do not have a quarterback. The Rams do not have a quarterback. Fucking, I don't know who, the Jaguars, do the Jaguars have a quarterback? Do they have, what's his face? I think Tennessee's got Mariota. Did Jacksonville, do they have Wilson? I was going to say the black one. DC doesn't really have a quarterback. The Jets don't have a quarterback. Again, a lot of teams don't have quarterbacks. The Bears have a quarterback, at least, in Jay Cutler. Anyways, the point of that, of talking about Jay Cutler and the word quarterback, is that Sid Luckman played for the Bears decades ago. Again, I think 1940s, maybe 50s, something like that. Way, 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 way back when. Won some National Football League championships for the Bears. Not the Super Bowl, because it didn't exist. Same thing. But he won a bunch of those, and he's like, a legendary quarterback for the Bears, even though he's not all that good. But the point, again, is that until recently, with Jay Cutler, who the Bears don't like, who's not that great of a quarterback, who's not Joe Montana, he's not Dan Marino. Jay Cutler now holds all of the passing records pretty much, and he took them from Sid Luckman. In like 60 years, the Bears didn't have any quarterback that did anything. Jim McMahon was like our most famous quarterback, and that's because he wore fucking sunglasses because of an eye condition, I think, from concussions. And he mostly just had to stand there, occasionally throw the ball, mostly just hand it to Walter Payton and get out of the fucking way. And win a Super Bowl and thus be enshrined as a god in this town forever. Even though the Bears won the Super Bowl the year... Actually, they won it in 86, technically. So my brother was a year old. My brother, who's getting married soon, who's born in 1985, who's going to be 30... Is he 31? Oh, shit, he is 31, because I'm 33. Huh. My 31-year-old brother is older. It was about the same age as when the Bears last won a fucking title. And yet, you can't... Everybody in this town knows the 85 Bears. And they were one of the all-time great teams, blah, 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 blah. I gotta take a drink of water. I encourage everyone to go listen to the Mishka Shubali interview, by the way, and buy the book. I just been listening to a lot of Mishka's songs. I'm gonna go see him next week. He and I are sharing a room. They're in Indiana here next Tuesday. I may have Mike back on the podcast. He'd be the first repeat celebrity guest. I know he's not a celebrity to you guys, but he's a fucking fantastic, fantastic writer. Now then, back to Hillary Clinton misjudging something in Cleveland. Before I get ripping on Cleveland for something else, this commercial. Before I get to the Cleveland commercial, the national commercial, which shows Trump saying these quote-unquote outrageous things. And some of them are... him saying, like, go fuck yourself. And they bleep out the word fuck. Like, oh, no. Like, yeah, I know. Politicians aren't supposed to say that in public at rallies. But whatever. And then the point of the commercial is that you got to have a certain tenor, a certain demeanor to be president. You can't be outrageous. And you got to be in control and reserved and presidential and have gravitas. And, you know, that term gravitas, nobody ever fucking heard until Al Gore ran for president. And there's basically, you know, saying to people, there's a way to be a president, and this man doesn't act like any president. And it's true, he'd be very different. President Obama was young and energetic, but we'd seen that before with Kennedy and Bill Clinton to a degree. But there was still like, I'm a learned man, I went to a good school or whatever. Although Trump did go to good schools, but nobody cares. So I think when you're in your 60s, nobody gives a fuck where you went to school. The more you people have to brag about what school they went to as an accomplishment in life, the less they've actually done in life. That's how you always know that Barack Obama never actually accomplished anything until he became president. I mean, he became senator and all these things, but he never did anything. Because all he did, you know, he taught basically like a survey class at the University of Chicago. He went to Harvard, and they always talk about all his academic credentials. Like, yeah, but what the... He didn't pass any legislation. He's been there as a president. I didn't vote for the guy. I wouldn't have voted for him. He's not my political cup of tea. But, I don't know, things seem okay. Like, there's been worse. It's whatever. Although, I do think there's something that, in some way he's contributed to this, in good and bad, the Black Lives Matter thing, and with the good and bad of Black Lives Matter. I somehow wonder if, yes, Ferguson basically started this current movement, which has now culminated with professional football players taking a knee during the national anthem, and I'm supposed to give a shit. Like, who gives a fuck? Yeah, it's the national anthem. If I'm at a game live, I stand up, I take my hat off, and I kind of mumble my way through most of the words that I know, and the other half of the time I'm, like, looking for the flag. I'm like, where the fuck is the flag? And then, like, I always see, like, one flag. I'm like, is that the flag? Is everybody looking at that one? Like, that guy's not looking at that flag. What is it? Oh, he's looking at the one out in the outfield? Is that the one I'm supposed to look at? I'm trying to figure out, like, is there an official national anthem flag for me to pledge myself to? 60 miles from Gary, Indiana. Fuck me, man. Fucking Godfather's Pizza is all over the place in Indiana. Not Illinois, but Indiana. I can pick some up, but I'm going to wait and do it next week after I drive back from Mishka, just because this is a long drive, and I don't want to fucking take a 45-minute detour. Anyways, why the fuck are you going so slow now? I hate people from other states. There's just a generic one. I hate people from other states. So this commercial is, again, Trump saying things, and it's you know, somber and very serious, and you should be scared, reminiscent of the 1960s little girl flower atomic bomb commercial. And then at the end, you know, it's like, you got to be responsible, and do you want, like, somebody crazy to be a president? And it ends with the clip of Trump saying, I'd bomb the shit out of them. And that's it, and it's over. And I'm watching this commercial, and I'm going, you don't get what the fuck's going on. That's what people want to hear. That's Trump's best feature. There's other things you can hammer Trump for. Him saying, I'm going to bomb the shit out of him. People like a hawk of a president. They like a president who will say, I'm going to beat up the bad guys. They like that. Especially when when you've seen this in action, and every day there seems to be more terrorism, even if there's probably not, where fewer people are dying from, you know, foreign wars, if you will, including terrorism, than ever before. It's always in the news, and everybody's scared, and we always, you know, we want something to be done. Even though there's realistically nothing can probably be done about terrorism, it's just a bunch of fucking useless scumbags who, from a scumbag religion. Like, Islam's not scumbag. I don't know what Islam is, but these guys, what they're calling Islam is scum. It is. It's just, it's dog. My dad always called it dogs. So whatever. Like, there's nothing you can do about people willing to kill themselves to kill you. Like, all you can do is kill them in advance, but then that leads to martyrs, and they gotta work this shit out. They're going through their fucking trials and tribulations, and either the religion gets it together and joins the 21st century, or it doesn't. They can't win a war. That's why they resort to terrorism. It's a level below even guerrilla warfare. And it's not guerrilla warfare. What the Viet Cong did was guerrilla warfare. Use the locals, infiltrate pot shots, take it, you know, they took it from George Washington, which beat the British Army that way. That's fine. I mean, because they're going after military targets. These are just people who are going after non-military targets on purpose. They avoid military targets. Although, every once in a while, they do blow up or do something weird in the military area. But, you know, if some asshole wants to get in a fucking truck and just drive and run you over, there's nothing you could do about that. That's always going to exist in the world. That existed before there was a greater focus on Islamic terrorism, Islamic-fueled terrorism. And it'll exist after. I mean, Islam could be wiped out of the face of the earth tomorrow. You're still going to have people doing crazy shit. And you could take away all the guns in the world. Again, the guy's just going to fucking get a truck. You don't even need to be sophisticated like Timothy McVeigh. You don't have to do fertilizer and use all that, create a big explosion. Yeah, that you can get a lot of bang for your buck or whatever. But, I mean, you know, you can just get a fucking gallon of gasoline, put some nails in it, and kill a bunch of people. There's always going to be ways to kill people, and there's always going to be ways to kill a lot of people. People are like, oh, you know, guns kill all these people, and then somebody goes, hey, guns don't kill people, people kill people. It's like, yeah, that's true, but... And yes, if you can... I believe everyone should have a gun. I don't like a lot of the restrictions people get proposed either. But, at the end of the day, a gun serves one function. The only thing a gun does is shoot and kill, maim, injure, whatever. Like a knife, yes, a knife can be as deadly. You can stab and kill someone just as easily with a knife, maybe even more so because it's more subtle, but at least a knife does have some other function. If you were to ban all knives, people would be like, well, how the fuck do I cut my food? So there's something else a knife does. A gun doesn't do anything except for hurt and kill. So by wanting to ban guns, you are in theory at least only trying to ban something that kills. Again, I don't think you should. I think that more guns is probably safer. I think people need to know what they're doing with them. But again, it doesn't matter, because you can fucking guy takes a gun and kills 49 gay dudes in Orlando, and then what happens? You could have taken all the guns in the world out of them. Like, France didn't have a lot of guns. What did they do? The dude just got a truck. Just a big truck. He didn't even use gasoline. He didn't use anything explosive. He used a truck. He just drove over people with a big truck and killed like 70 people. He just had a truck. Like, what the fuck? You can't do anything. You can't outlaw trucks, obviously. Like, that's just the world we live in. So when Trump says these things, I don't think anybody's going to, you know, the only people who are going to respond negatively to that are people who are already absolutely going to vote for Hillary. And I don't even think it really, and there is value in that. There's value in appealing to your base and wanting to get them out to vote and getting them excited. Because especially when you're a candidate like Hillary who's not really exciting the base all that much, and you kind of had a little bit of infighting, kind of the Bernie people are kind of distracting. And so she needs to shore up her base and get them out there. And so by, you know, reminding them, hey, you don't have to vote for me, but this is what you're going to fucking get if you don't. People go, oh, shit, yeah, fuck, man, I really don't want that guy. I don't think it's really that effective because, it's Trump. It's over the top. There's other things you can do. I mean, they're going to come out. These are just early ads. But then the ads, so that's what I've seen. And I'm grateful to live in Illinois. When I grow up, wherever I move, I want to move to a state that never matters in the presidential election, ever. Because I lived in Iowa for 4 years, and that sucked. Fucking just when every single ad is a political ad. And it's just awful. Whereas in Illinois, it's pretty good until right around now, mid-September, beginning of October. Then it'll become normal, but a lot of that's local shit. We don't get the national stuff all that much, because again, the state always votes Democrat. We have a Republican governor, one of our senators is Republican, but when it comes to the president, we tend to be firmly Democrat. And not even particularly close. Like, the Republicans just aren't going to waste their money. Our governor, Bruce Rauner, he's done okay. He hasn't fucked up. He hasn't gone to jail. That's the number one criteria for being a successful governor in Illinois, is just don't go to jail. And I'm not kidding. So Hillary's ad, whatever. Then I'm in Cleveland. Still haven't made fun of Cleveland yet, and I'm building this all up for this joke. It's not even a joke. I see an ad, an anti-Trump ad there. And now this is an ad that I could see being effective. And it's the kind of ad I would have expected. And it was, you know, Cleveland's a fucking industrial state, Rust Belt. Not the Midwest. But whatever, it's a Rust Belt. Why is that guy slowing down? There's no fucking cop. And so, you know, they want manufacturing jobs. And Trump actually has done very well in Ohio. I theorized on an early podcast many moons ago that he always would, because his policies are very traditionally Democrat in that respect. He's not a free trade guy. I want fair trade, and he likes tariffs, and he wants to restrict trade, and he's not your classical liberal economically. He's not a Reagan conservative when it comes to economics, shit like that. He probably opposes the Trans-Pacific Partnership and NAFTA and these things. Like, he doesn't like them. And I think that appeals to the Ohio voter, and when they can vote for a guy who can give them what they want economically and socially, they don't have to worry that they're supporting, you know, one, a woman, and two, you know, the gay love and abortion love and Democrats and all that stuff. Like, there's a lot of guys, I think, and, you know, blue-collar dudes who've always voted that way because the union said we got to do it for our jobs, and maybe rightfully so. Whether that's actually a good, sound fiscal policy nationwide doesn't matter. To the individual voting their own individual interest, if you have a job manufacturing shit, it is in your interest in order to keep that job in the immediacy to oppose free trade. Now, in the long run, you may be harming yourself because you may be harming the country and the overall economy and blah, 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 blah. But right, but nobody votes for 10 years from now. People vote for the next year, the next 2 years. All you want to do is get through the day. I mean, 10 years from now, fuck, that's like, if you figure you work from 20 to 60, you know, you get 40 years, 10 years is a fourth of your fucking life. You know, really, that's a fourth of your adult life is 10 years. You're really adult from 20 to then 60. And by the time you're 60, there's nothing you can do. Whatever you've had for a job, you're done. Like, you may still have to keep working, but you're not going to suddenly take up a new skill. You know, nobody in 60 suddenly decides to become a lawyer and it makes it a successful practice, because it just takes time to grow in your field and blah, 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 blah. Something I have no interest. Now entering Central Standard Time. Let's see, my phone switched over. Nope, not yet. That's really weird. There's a sign in Indiana telling me what time it is. Fuck, that's weird. One fucking time zone, Indiana. You get one, asshole. So anyways, the commercial is showing these manufacturers, these people. The guy's like, well, this plant's been around since the 1860s. And Donald Trump says there are no jobs in Ohio. Well, I've got a job, and I make this, and I make that. And meanwhile, Donald Trump's suits are made in Mexico, and his ties in China, and his shirts in, I don't know, fucking France or Sri Lanka or wherever. And now that, to me, is an ad I can see resonating. Like, oh, Donald Trump, you... And Trump's... And they even acknowledge, and Trump says, like, I can't afford to do it here. And that's Trump's excuse for overseas labor. Maybe it's... First, it's true. It is true. Forget about patriotism. Nobody would ever build anything overseas if the price was equal, because the shipping costs... So it's not just that people are working for less overseas. They're working for so much less that they can offset very high shipping costs. Transactional costs, if you will. And even if those were even, you would still keep it in America, because forgetting the cost, the risk of product being damaged coming across a barge from China to, you know, San Francisco or wherever the fuck they go. Is that San Diego? I don't know which port they go. Where does shit from China go? Like, I always think of barges and shipping containers always going to, like, New Jersey. But I presume they go across the Pacific. You wouldn't, like, go around Africa and shit. Anyways, so yes, in theory, if it was economically feasible, I'm sure that Trump would make all this shit here, because everybody would. It's just, again, store, where are you gonna open up a factory? What's easier, opening up one in fucking China, having to deal with Chinese people, or opening up one down the street and dealing with Joe? Like, yeah, of course. So Trump says that, and they say, well, Mr. Trump, maybe if you'd made more shit here, blah, blah, blah. Again, the point is, the commercial works. It doesn't have to be, none of these commercials are ever 100% accurate. They're always arguable. You can always argue one way or the other on them. They're 100% undisputed fact that there wouldn't be an election. And the only people that don't get that are morons. I mean, it's true. Like, I keep saying like, not necessarily as even a tick, I just enjoy the way it flows with a sentence. It's a Valley Girl thing, but I don't use it as a Valley Girl inappropriate simile, metaphor. Similes like her ass. I just think that, you know, like, it's got a flowy affectation to it. Yeah. So, okay, that's a different kind of commercial. I don't have to see those, because Illinois, we don't make shit. I don't know what Illinois does. It's a fucking useless state. I hate it. Illinois, we have a lot of insurance companies in Illinois. Whoop-de-fucking-do. There's something to be proud of. Home to a bunch of insurance companies. The single most evil industry in the world. Way more evil than anything else. Indiana, pardon our dust for implementing $300 million worth of shit. Oh, yeah, the governor of Indiana is Trump's vice president, isn't he? Mike Pence. Yeah, the state's not on fire. I guess that's a good sign, right? So that's a commercial I saw, which allows me to make the joke, the ripping of Cleveland. Even though, like I said before, the beach, I love the lake. The downtown area I was in was very, very nice. Remind me of the area around AT&T Park in San Francisco. Just, yeah, this is how you should do it. Chicago doesn't have that. You go to, I don't know what to fucking call it now. The White Sox ballpark. It was Comiskey forever. Then it was the U.S. Cellular Field. And it just got sold the naming rights. And it's something like, oh, it's Guaranteed Rate. Apparently that's the name of a mortgage company, is Guaranteed Rate. I thought that when I first heard the name Guaranteed Rate Field, it was like Guaranteed Rate Field by Citibank or something like that. I understand Citi Field. Okay, I've heard of Citibank. I guess Guaranteed Rate is a mortgage company. When I haven't heard of you as a bank, that's not really a good sign. So guess what that, and you know what that means, everybody? The housing bubble, it's growing. Housing's going to collapse again because nobody learned a fucking lesson. Why? Because it was almost a decade ago and people are really fucking short-term memory. Short-term memory? Yeah, whatever. And they all think it's going to change because, like the internet thing changed. Internet was this giant, you know, everybody thought there was going to be all this money to be made in the internet, and they were right. They were just about 10, 15 years too early. And the bubble burst, those internet companies collapsed, and like they should have. And you know what emerged? The stronger companies, better innovations, companies that were thinking. And now you see the companies and they're surviving and they're thriving and they're making money because they learned. They're constantly innovating and expanding and doing things. Amazon is fucking starting an airplane service just to ship their shit. Google is constantly, and Google's not even Google, it's Alphabet now. And they're in everything, from high-speed internet to drones to this to that. Like, they're the biggest data collector in the world. And they don't even know what they're going to do with it. They just know that it's going to be good to have. And that's because they all learned from the dot-com bubble burst. The housing bubble burst, people got fucked. We put in some regulations. Whether they were good or not, up to you. But the problem is, what didn't stop is people didn't stop thinking they need a house. And that they need a bigger house than what they have. Everybody always thinks they need a bigger house. Now, I want to own a house simply so that I can have it, but I only want to get it if I can pay for it all at once. And I'm talking to some, I know what it is. I know exactly which house it is. Water Time. It's this little, like 800 square foot place in Deadwood, South Dakota. It's going to be about $75,000. Buy that fucker, and that's mine. And the only thing in life you'd ever actually have to worry about are property taxes. In theory, everything else I don't need. You can shit in the woods, you can find water in the river, you can cut down trees for heat. If I have to. Obviously, someone like me is not capable of that. I'll try to have some more money than just, you know, enough to shit in the woods. But all I really, again, like I said earlier, the depressing part of the program, I just need a place to sleep, eat, drink. Because I'll go back to the booze by then. And if I have internet, I'm good. I'm golden, pony boy. What the fuck has this show been? God damn, man. I'll tell you what it's been. Fucking an hour is what it's been. Help me kill some time. I think I have like another hour of driving still. This shit kind of settled, though, in my stomach. Or actually be in my colon. So it got pushed back. What? Gay joke. Oop. Exit 39 closes tomorrow. Bitch. I can say bitch. I'm giving up on the politically correct. Promise. See people in there, I'm not politically correct. Now they walk around calling everybody spick and nigger. It's like, that's not, there's a difference between being politically correct and being a racist. Like, I don't call people nigger. I will say the word nigger because it's just a word. I'm not afraid of sounds. And I have no problem with people using it in the Chris Rock context. That guy's a nigger. Why? Because it's just short. It's like saying white trash. That guy's that. Oh, what a nigger. What white trash? Like, we just have different terms for different groups of... For every group's got their own slur. And that slur refers to a certain type of guy. Like, Barack Obama's not a nigger. President Obama is African-American. There's a reason actually, he's black. African-American's bullshit. I don't think that's really... I don't think it's PC to say African-American. I just think it's dumb. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying black. We say black and we say white. That's just what we say. We don't really say yellow because it sounds kind of weird. It's kind of accurate. Like, it is kind of weird. Like, black's actually the only one that's even really close to skin color. It only really depends, you know, heart of Africa black. They look black. That one's kind of like a mocha brown. White people... We're not white, we're more, you know, pinkish, more pinky white. There's some of us are pale as shit white. Probably comes from a lot of the Anglo-Saxons, because those fuckers are all white. But it's like, you know, white people get labeled this broad brush. Like, I'm sorry, there's fucking Norwegians and Italians do not look the same. But they're both white, I guess. Personally, I don't consider Italians to be human, but that's just me. But yeah, I don't know, we have black, white, and we could go yellow and red. I don't... Again, red I kind of get, but red's really more like brown. And brown I kind of get, like they're tan. Like Hispanics are tan, Mexicans, Hispanics, Latinos. They're far more tan than whitey. So we say brown because they're kind of browned. Like they were white, but they're a little darker than white. And they are, you know. Because they're a mix of white, and I guess if you mix white and red, you get brown. I guess that's what that is. Because there's no such thing as a fucking Mexican. Mexican's not anything. It's just fucking Spanish people that banged Indians. That's all it is. You know, indigenous people getting raped. They liked it. Should have fought a little harder. They could have just stopped pushing back. The red, I don't know. I mean, no, if you say red skin, even then, like, I know it's a thing right now with the football team, but it's not really. Is it the nicest thing to say? No. Would you call somebody a red skin? Not really. Like, you'd probably use it as a derogatory term. I guess it's the closest slur I know for Indian. I want to say Native American's stupid as shit. I hate the term Native American. American Indian, I'm fine with that. American Indian, and then you have Indian American, which for the other ones. Because otherwise, everybody goes Indian, you gotta go dots, not feathers. Everybody goes, kind of laugh, we move on with life. Because, well, we have to. What the fuck else do you say? It's not my fault that some fucking dumbass Dago didn't know where the fuck he was. And, I'm fucking India. Yeah, look at that. Fuck, man, nobody told me this place is so fucking beautiful. Hey, look, let's rape and kill them and take their gold. I understand the killing and the pillaging part, but the free rape, the way they freely raped, that's always odd. I mean, it shows how just inhuman humans were. Yet at the same time, we had the brilliance to build ships and navigate across the sea. And all the, you know, the wonders of the world that were built back then and hundreds, thousands of years prior. You know, the Parthenon, the Acropolis, all these magnificent structures. And yet we thought, that's okay, you can go rape the other guys. Very, you know, tribalistic. Like, I actually can identify more somebody trying to rape an animal than they would a person. That's weird. I know. But at least with an animal, it's not a person. Like, you'd be like, I'm just using something squishy. It's like jerking off with a fleshlight or something. Like, you would think, who cares? You know, we cut animals up, we eat them, whatever. We treat them like animals. People are like, and like, oh, you know, they're not really people. It's like, what? Okay. And that was always, that's also kind of odd. Like, slaves. They're not human. They're not human beings. Really? So why the fuck are you having sex with them? Because last I checked, Thomas Jefferson was fucking some slaves, but I don't think he was fucking any pigs. Maybe. But I don't think that, like, they looked at slaves as exactly the same as animals. One, the whole standing upright, opposable thumb, and ability to speak was a little different. Porky doesn't say, yes, massa. He just squeals. Yes, I know. I'm looking for intellectual consistency among slave owners. And, like, old slave owners. And I know we have slaves today, but I don't know where. Africa? I always picture them being African warlords with slaves. I'm over an hour. I have nothing. I have no... I don't need to do any more for the show. I can coast. I'm close enough to home that I'm kind of kicked the boredom. Can I work out the bit, though? I wouldn't mind trying to stand up. I respect the art so much. I'm going to do it one day and not tell anyone until I do it for a while. And if I do it for a while and it's not bad, then maybe I'll tell people. But I'm not making that fucking mistake. Like, the first time you go up and be like, hey, mom. Well, I'd never invite my mom. Like, everybody, oh, why don't you come watch me? And then it's just fucking bomb in front of everyone. Big ho, ho, ho. Because it's one thing to be funny off the cuff. It's one thing to do a podcast and make you kind of laugh this way, because it's different expectations. I don't have to be funny the entire time. I can just go into a serious segue. I can talk about this. I can talk about that. You're not there to laugh nonstop. If I went up and did 15 minutes and only, like, had 3 or 4 jokes and the rest of it was talking about how Donald Trump isn't a classical liberal economically, people would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is a comedy show, not a one-man act. I'm a good public speaker, but again, it doesn't really work. Anyways, the pedophile bit. Close on that. That'll be my closer for this edition of Five Star Radio. Hey, I'm calling it Five Star. Fuck you. Oh, I love saying Five Star Radio. Fuck that shit. I do shows of my own. I'm calling it Five Star Radio here at halfguarded.com. I only changed the name for the iTunes. I don't even know if anybody listens or subscribes through iTunes. You can do it. We have a little button there that says click to subscribe to iTunes. I don't know. I don't want to know. I'm always terrified to ask. Because I know it'll be like, yeah, you have 13 listeners. Oh, fuck. Actually, that'd be all right. I'd be more scared if it's like... I don't know. I either want, like, very, very few or a ton. And I want it to grow. I've never given a shit about the website's numbers. I always cared about its growth. That was always what I focused on. Like, if it was growing, I was fine. I didn't need to have 100,000 hits this month, as long as I get it next month. And again, the site's grown every single month, I think. We may have had like 1 month, like the August to September of last year may have been a dip. I'm not really sure. But since we kind of like figured it out, we've grown every month. This past August may not have been as big as July, because this past July was just gigantic. It was, because, I mean, and it probably always will be for us. I think that, the UFC has their biggest shows, so many shows for the UFC, a lot of content and traffic that way. Plus, it's movie season, all of our movie stuff does really well then. It's like the peak of everything. I don't know why more people should be outside, but they're on their fucking computers doing the internet with us in the series of tubes. People laugh at that, but it is a fucking series of tubes. The fucking gigantic underground cables. Like, Wi-Fi is not what you think. Wi-Fi exists between, you know, within your house, 20 miles to Gary, Indiana. So how do I do this stand-up? You can't do stand-up in a car like this. You can talk about the bit. I'm not even stand up. It's just something funny I was saying to myself in the shower. When I looked at my penis and I started laughing. fuck you. But yeah, everybody knows. You've all seen To Catch a Predator with, and now I can't remember his fucking name. I've already fucked this whole thing up. Amazing. I got one sentence in. Not even a sentence. Half a sentence before I forgot the guy's fucking name. And I wrote down, like, peace, praise be to him. Pull out the old phone. Open it up. Do this and this and this. No text messages. Of course not. That bit about drinking and touching. Aha! All right. So we've all seen here we go. So we've all seen To Catch a Predator with Chris Hansen. I know it's not exactly news anymore, but the show used to be around until he himself was caught. Not being a predator, but he was still caught. But I do remember watching one time To Catch a Predator, and as one does alone on a Saturday night with booze. Because it's good inspiration. And I saw, and this guy showed up at the house to have sex with a little boy. And they had with him a bottle of wine, which is a gigantic waste, because it's a 12-year-old boy. He doesn't fucking know. Don't bring a fucking nice Merlot to him. He needs a juice box and a roofie. The swimmer from Stanford figured this out, you asshole. You just get him drunk or whatever and give him some pills. Date rapists know how to do this better. You're a fucking child predator. You've planned this. You're grooming this kid. How do you not know how to do this? You should have a system better than bringing nice wine. The wine's an acquired taste. It's better than beer. But, you know, you bring him fucking vodka shots, like Jello shots, something easy to get going, whatever. So the guy shows up with the wine to fuck the little boy, and he has with him also some condoms. Why? This is all true, by the way. I saw this one. Why does the guy have condoms? He's going to have sex with a boy. He doesn't have to worry about pregnancy. The kid's not old enough to get pregnant. Also, it's a boy. Is he worried that the kid has an STD? Is that why he's wearing protection? Is he thinking that little Jimmy's been is a little slutty? This isn't the kid's first time around the block himself, that he's got to watch out? And if he's not, that means he's worried that he might give the kid an STD? Really? You're going to butt-fuck a 12-year-old that you've knocked out with booze, but you don't want to give him herpes? Chlamydia. That would be the insult. That would be the great harm to this child. Not the cock in the mouth. A case of the clap. That's what you want to avoid in this situation. It's not like you have to worry about, leaving behind physical evidence. Your dick will tear apart an 8-year-old boy's asshole. I assure you. I guarantee you, dicks were not meant for, they're not meant for assholes. They're really not meant for 8-year-old assholes. But here he is with his wine and his condoms to protect himself or the child from an STD. And how would he even, what does he know that the kid's got an STD? Is there like a Yelp for pedophiles? They'll go on there and raid it? Yeah, 212 Elm Street. Steve, S for Steve. He's not very bright. He might be a little autistic, kind of slow. But you get him nice and lubed up, and that shit, he ain't going to push. I mean, he'll push back a little bit, just enough. He fights enough to make it worth your while, but not too much. He's not a biter. But John down the street at 215 Elm, he's a biter. Watch out for him. You're going to want a ball gag with that kid. And we always like to, picture pedophiles as men. And some people think, oh, you're trying to link it to homosexuality. Because they're both, non-mainstream deviant lifestyles. You think that they're the same and all that stuff. And that's not fair. The reason is simple. The reason why people joke about butt-fucking little boys and not little girls is because, and it's not because we put women on a pedestal, it's because we all know that there but for the grace of Chris Hansen goes I, we could be a pedophile or a pederast. Which is, as an aside, why are there so many different words to describe having sex with somebody who's too young to know better? If it's under a certain age, you're a pedophile. If it's between this age and this age, you're a pederast. Why do they have to be so specific? This isn't like a genus of fucking fruit flies where you want to make sure you get the right DNA, right? They're just sticking their dick in little, in people who don't know better. But the reason why we, again, we say boys, not girls, is that we've all seen, as men, the girl who we thought, hey, she's attractive. And then you realize really quickly, wait, she's holding an algebra book. Oh, fuck. And it's not even algebra 2 or advanced algebra. It's the first algebra. So you know she's not even 18 or even close to it. Oh, shit. If I had had the chance, I would have had sex with her. I'm a pedophile. So that's why we go with boys, because we know that we wouldn't accidentally fuck a little boy. Like, you don't accident, if you're straight, you do not accidentally find yourself having to say, but I thought he looked like a girl. I thought he was 18 and a girl, Your Honor. Really, the penis didn't be off? I looked right past it. Totally missed it. And then I wonder about the pedophiles who are into other things. Like, you know there has to be a crossover between pedophiles and scat. In fact, I know for a fact there is, because R. Kelly peed on a 14-year-old. Now, that's pederasty or whatever, but still, a kid way too young to be having sex, and he peed on her. And that means that there's a crossover on some people out there are into water sports and probably shitting and being shat on, as well as being pedophiles. And that's a tough one if you're a parent, because if you come home and you find your son, find Steve, the biter, from down the street on Elm Street, Steve the biter, if you find him squatting over a 45-year-old dude who's got thick-rimmed glasses, a non-ironic flat-brimmed baseball hat, and you're a little Stevie squatting over him, pants around his ankles, smiling and laughing as he drops a giant turd on the guy's chest. Yeah, it's immoral what the pedophile is doing. He's a sicko. But has he actually harmed your kid? Or has he really taught your kid how to be dominant? Because suddenly, little Steve is not the guy that got fucked by a pedophile. He's the one that gets to tell people later on in life, yeah, this guy wanted to fuck me when I was 12, but I shit on him instead. Suddenly, your kid's got a great story. And like, you probably want to rush in there and grab him and whisk him away. Big Steve, no, I protect you, my son. Are you okay? Did he hurt you? And when the kid's going to look, she'll be like, yeah, no, I fucking took a dump on him. And meanwhile, there's the pedophile who's laying there, and if somebody catches you, and they whisk the kid away, because that's the first thing they're going to do. The first thing you do if you walk into a room, you see your 12-year-old boy, pants on his ankles, taking a shit on somebody's chest, giving a hot Carl to pedophile Carl, who's maybe stroking himself, and we allow that. If somebody's shitting on you, and they grab the kid, because, again, that's their first instinct. You want to punch the guy who's kind of molesting your kid, definitely is doing something weird with your kid. You want to punch him, but you know you need to, you know, get your kid out of danger first. Like you, it's like you take people out of the burning building before you put out the fire. You take the kid away from the pedophile before you kick the pedophile. So if you're a pedophile and you've just had a 12-year-old boy squatting over you, taking a shit on your chest, you're in the midst of nirvana. This is the greatest moment you've had in like 6 days. Since you convinced little Jimmy down the street to do it, and little Jimmy's parents didn't come home, so you got to enjoy that half hour of just getting roasted with this stuff. Suddenly there's an angry parent grabbing your shit dispenser and pulling him away. You obviously want to get out of there because you know you're going to get punched because there's no way to explain it. You can't say, oops, I tripped and fell and my clothes came off and his came off and he took a shit on me on accident. Uh-uh. You might trip and fall into a lot of things. Nobody ever tripped and fell into a kid taking a shit on them. While they have a bunch of condoms in there in one hand and wine in the other. So what do you do? Like, you got to get out of there. But do you just run? Like, you can pull your pants up, but you still got shit on your chest. And I don't know how scat works. I know two girls, one cup, but one boy, one man, one shit. sounds like a voting slogan. Trump's going to use that one next. I presume you just grab, you just get up and start running, and there you got it. You can't really go very far, though. Maybe you get to your car, but you don't want shit in your car. You might be a monster. You might be a human piece of shit who likes to molest little boys, but you're not going to get your fucking Subaru all dirty. You just have it fucking, you know, clean. Get it done up. Fucking waxed and everything. You know, you don't have a shit falling on your carpet. That's stained. You can't do that. So you're just running down the street, flinging shit off of you. Somebody's going to see that. Even if that parent doesn't stop you, you watch a grown man running down the street, and he's got shit all over him. You're going to fucking, like, react. You're probably going to call the cops, even if you don't know that it's the 12-year-old boy shit. And now you're the parent of the 12-year-old boy, and the cops show up at your house, and, like, you have to identify your kid's turd? Like, that's an awkward conversation. Sir, is this your son's shit? Yes, officer, it is. Did you know that it was on the chest of this grown man that we found in the bushes? Yes, I came home and I found my son standing over top of him, taking a shit. I wasn't sure if it was sexual in nature or if my son is just a badass. Either way, if the guy wants to come back, my wife's period is about to start. I don't really feel like dealing with her on the rack. Thank you, everybody. You've been a great crowd. My name is Mike Coughlin. This is the Half Guarded Hour. This is Five Star Radio here at halfguarded.com. Saying to one and all, good fight, good night. We'll be back in a few days, so thanks for listening. And then we'll actually talk about UFC 203. I didn't burn any of that material. Saying to one and all, au revoir, mes amis.
Aggressively, we all defend the role we play. Regrettably, times come to send you on your way. We've seen it all, bonfires of trust, flash floods of pain. It doesn't really matter, don't you worry, it'll all work out. No, it doesn't even matter, don't you worry, that ain't what it's all about. We hope.